This program is brought to you by the Forbes-featured Freedom Hub Health Plan, the alternative to overpriced and restrictive insurance. The Freedom Hub Health Plan is exactly what you need. By Frequency Medicine Associates, supporting health professionals and laypersons with safe and effective advanced telemedicine-like technology that can scan and help rebalance the root causes of stress and illness. By the Planet Lockdown film, which can be seen on the Freedom Hub's Rumble channel along with many great speakers. And by The Pavilion, a 21st century community hub that brings together many of the disruptive innovations featured by the Freedom Hub, including direct pay healthcare, farm-to-table dining, TED-like Freedom Hub talks, and more. Visit your-mp.com/pavilion-solution for details. Welcome, everyone, to Health, Biz, and Politics. We have a great show for you, or well, maybe a disturbing or enlightening show on 5G and smart meters and so on. So let me start, though, if you're new to the channel, to the podcast, we do have a website where you can log in, get information, sign up to our podcast, get on the mailing list, which I recommend. Let me do a quick screen share. And you will come to you'll go to your-mp.com, your marketplace for health, wealth, and freedom. Go to the home tab, down to webinars. And when it's working, there we go. You will see who we have for the that week, who we had as past guests. You can subscribe on both of those tabs there up top for Wednesday and Thursday. And also recommend going down, down to the bottom, you'll see where we post these on our video channels afterwards, including BitChute, Brighteon, Rumble, and if it's not too controversial, I don't know if today's will make it on YouTube, because we get bumped a lot because we do push the edge. So with that, let me stop that share. And Charlie, why don't you talk about, introduce today's show, especially being on the front line there with those smart meters.
Indeed. Jim, thank you so much. And let me share my screen. And there's an article that I'll put in chat, which sets the stage for today's show. And that's the suffering of many families right now as we speak in the cold, because they wanted this, an analog utility meter. And this implicates not just electricity, but also water and gas, as Jenny and Mary will present. But because these families wanted a safe meter, as opposed to one that radiates emission and dirty electricity all through your house, which is what happens with these smart meters. Dominion, the monopoly in Virginia, granted the monopoly to control distribution of electricity, threatened disconnection if they didn't mount their smart meters. And 10% perhaps are sensitive to electromagnetic frequency emissions, and they had the capacity to violate privacy. And I think when you dig deep into the issue, you realize it's the smart meters are part of the 5G antenna rollout. So there can be a mesh of data for monetization. Of course, the potential of behavioral control, the social credit score that combines with the vaccine passports, the carbon footprint, and the central bank's digital currency that's being rolled out. Just as we've learned with the COVID hysteria, many of us, a good percentage, did not want the emergency countermeasure, the vaccine, that so many folks now have buyer's remorse for. And a lot of us now don't want these health endangering, privacy threatening smart meters. Through National Health Federation, the world's oldest health freedom organization that I'm the lobbyist for, I have relied on experts to help me with all the issues that we push at this very eminent and old National Health Federation. My expert is Mary Bauer, a radio frequency engineer for the 5G and wireless risk issues. And her partner is former media personality Jenny DeMarco. And between the two of them, they have really exploded the coalition on wireless risk awareness. They do such a good job, and I'm so happy to have them on my National Health Federation team. I'll put this link in chat. You see here our most recent project to demand hearings and mitigation of the wireless rogue rollouts. Rogue because if there's no informed consent, you can't say no when they mount a 5G antenna outside your kid's classroom or outside your bedroom. So it's the same dynamic with the COVID vaccination. There's no informed consent. You can't have it in America. We have a Fifth Amendment right to demand due process and a Fourth Amendment warrant before you seize our life and liberty. And with that, I'll stop sharing and I will turn it over to Jenny to put this issue in context. And I'm sure she'll turn it over to Mary for the details. And we'll get to Q&A later on. So think of your questions and we'll have a good discussion.
Thank you, Charles, for that wonderful introduction. And we've been really fortunate to work with you in the National Health Federation. And we appreciate everything that you're doing to push this issue forward because I think that it's becoming more well known amongst masses because of the work that we're doing. So thank you. So I am the communications director for Virginians for Safe Technology, which is a grassroots organization, and we formed to protect current and future Virginians' rights to safe and responsible technology in this world of technological advancements, because we know where it's going. It's headed in that direction, right? But we can use these things and be exposed to them responsibly, and we can understand the risk. And so that way we can mitigate it as we introduce certain things to our lives. So, you know, we are realistic about this. And when it comes to the smart meter issue, it's actually really blown up here in Virginia. And I know that there's other states that have had their turn. And this is just our turn in the queue because it's happening everywhere. This is a global issue. This is happening across the world. It's not just in the US, but it's kind of gone state by state where they're pushing people out of the analog and they are only giving the smart meter as an option. And that is what is happening right here in Virginia. They are telling consumers that they may opt out to this, but their definition of an opt-out, they're calling a non-communicating meter, it actually is another version of a smart meter. And Mary is going to explain, today we're going to go over in a quick presentation, just what a smart meter is, you know, how it compares to the analog meter and how it interacts with the mesh. And I know Mary talked a little bit about this at the beginning, but then we can get into the informed consent part because as Charles touched on, there are families right now that have been without power in Virginia since November 9th. So, and these are people that had taken matters into their own hands and had their analog meter switched out after they had gone through the proper channels to get the smart meter that was put on their house against their will off. These are people who went through the power company and said, I can't have this on the side of my house, please take it off. And they would not do it. And so they took matters into their own hands. They ended up switching out the smart meter for an analog meter. And this particular power company seemed to wait until some of the coldest days of the year and turn off their power. And so they didn't have power for Thanksgiving. There are children below 10 in two of these homes. It's really terrible. I mean, they don't even do this. Everyone is up to date on their bills. So we will get more into the informed consent piece of this and how this is becoming a big issue and the power companies have too much power. but first, we'll have Mary do a presentation. And to give a little background on Mary, she's our radio frequency engineer. And she has worked approximately 29 years, both as a federal employee and a defense contractor, mainly for the Department of Defense, and gives national webinars and lectures on how to best protect yourself in your home from a world full of industrial electromagnetic radiation. So without further ado, I know Mary, you're probably on mute. I'm gonna share my screen. Hold on a second. And I'm sorry, I don't have PowerPoint on my computer. That was the issue we ran into. So it is going to show the sides of the There we go. Can you all see that?
Yep.
Yeah, you can. You should be able to hit F5 and still make it full screen.
Okay. Command 5 on a Mac?
Yeah.
I'm gonna hit something and then
or also F11.
Or it works too, just the way I'd have it, Jenny, if you just want to proceed.
Yeah. I'm sorry. All right.
Okay, so just housekeeping here with the Fair Use Act. Basically, you know, for the purposes of copyright material that's used here for educational purposes only. And can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So Jenny has already gone over our mission. We're basically a consumer advocacy group, and we're really trying to help the people without power in Virginia right now because they're trying to retain their health rights and privacy rights. Page 4. So in this agenda, it's basically a smart meters 101 course, but it's also, you're going to learn some unique properties of this private telecommunications circuit that's just for the power companies. They didn't have to do it this way, but because they have been able to, you know, the order that was issued with SEC, we're getting another set of towers with these meters. So we have the broadband towers that are coming right behind the 4G LTE, and it's just another layer of mesh, non-ionizing radiation around us. We're going to talk about what a smart meter is, take a peek inside to the network card, also look at the distribution diagram of how the signals are sent around the neighborhood, the common bioeffects from these smart meters, both from the RF that everybody knows about, the RFR radiation, but also the conducted emissions with the dirty electricity that go throughout the house on the power lines. Two very different types of exposures, because even though signals are carrying on these power lines, they're not contained to just the cable. They do radiate out from the cable slightly. Smart meter tech problems that we've had with just not having protective devices on there and fires, and then the opt-out forms, which is a very hot topic right now. Next slide. So this is the history of smart meters. It started out as a pilot project in Virginia, where it was optional for them to select certain neighborhoods and just outfit them with these smart meters, starting as far back as at least 10 years ago or more, and mostly up in Northern Virginia. And now they got the okay to go ahead with the State Corporation Commission orders that were issued January 7th. You see the case number there in red, font number PUR-2021-00127, after two prior rejections, meaning that they didn't see any cost benefit to do these. The other two times that Dominion applied, and even some staff on the third try at the State Corporation Commission, which is the state regulant for power, and Dominion is their agent that, you know, deploys these units for them. Even the staff within State Corporation did not recommend this one to be approved, but it was overridden by, I guess, the commissioners to go ahead and do it anyhow. The State Corporation Commission has commissioners just like Federal Communications Commission does as well, but I don't think there's as many of them. And then the whole reason that it pivoted on approving this particular order was because of saving money. And that's really an oxymoron, meaning that you really don't save money. And we'll go into reasons why we can prove that. Next slide. So the next slide is going to be some vocabulary. Jenny, can you hear me?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, I'm just going to continue.
Oh, there you go.
So the vocabulary here is very specific to just smart meters. And you see there the Zigbee radio. That's really the most invasive chip inside these meters, because that goes in behind inside your house and talks to all of your devices that have either an RFID or an actual, you know, radiating device like a cell phone or a Wi-Fi router. So it's kind of like a collector of information inside the house. And supposedly for the, you know, the guise of saving energy, if you're using them too much, or they feel like, you know, you want to get in a time of use program, which is why this order had gotten approved, is time of use on how you use your electricity, like to run your dishwasher or your washer and dryer, to do it at a non-peak time, which I believe peak time to them means 5 to 7 p.m. at night. So you would delay putting on your oven at 5 o'clock until, you know, 7:01, and you might get a cheaper rate. Another interesting terminology there is the AMI grid transformation. That's what they're calling this whole push to have to get everything done by 2024, because if this grid transformation is done, then they have the ability to turn off regions of power to transfer those loads to other regions who are, you know, more socially equitable, you know, with these scores that they're going to assign to people, regions, neighborhoods. And this completion of these smart meters, I believe, will help enable them to do that. The other thing I wanted to talk about there with the State Corporation Commission down there in the bottom left-hand corner, it's a three-pronged tool, you know, when you go to make a complaint, because the people putting them in aren't qualified, so they're not licensed electricians. That's a DPORT issue, and that's the Department of Professional Occupation and Regulation. There's the RFR they emit, that's Federal Communications Commission, FCC. And then there's the actual state regulant who is supposed to be protecting you, you know, for putting in something that's safe, like an analog meter. So all three of these agencies are supposed to be keeping us safe, and all of them are failing, and none of them want to take responsibility for fixing it. I mean, it's really, there's a big gap in between there that's not being bridged. And that's where the consumer advocacy and the activism has to fill that gap. Next slide. This is electromagnetic spectrum, and where you see those two blue arrows pointing down, that's the spectrum in which smart meters operate. But also, all the way to the left there in the ELF section, 60 hertz falls in there. And they create two very different types of biological problems. The 60 hertz and the conducted emissions of the dirty electricity created by the switch mode power supply, which is just the power supply to the actual unit itself, that goes through the whole entire house. And that's in a very low frequency range, 2 kilohertz to 50 kilohertz. It falls on that left-hand side of the spectrum. Very, very different than radio frequency radiation, which is where the blue lines are. And most people get these mixed up, and they put them all under one umbrella. And they are, because they're part of the electromagnetic spectrum, but they affect the body very differently, but they have the ability to make the person sick. So in that lower end of the electromagnetic spectrum, even FCC and ICNIRP admit that if you're exposed to frequencies, I believe they start at 3 kilohertz to 10 megahertz, that you can have adverse neurostimulation. So that's a particular type of effect that can be similar to in the higher frequencies, but, you know, there's a lot more things that can happen with the low-level RFR, you know, that the FCC does not recognize, but is under dispute now since the case CHD and CHD did in August 13th, 2021, when they went at the DC Court of Appeals. So next slide. So what is an AMI smart meter? We know that it measures electricity, but it also pulses, and they'll say just once every half hour, but it actually is 190,000 times a day. It can be up to that. 95% of that is just for RF mesh maintenance. And the actual meter data is being, you know, pulsed very, very little of that 190,000 times. That's a detail that the power companies don't like talking about, because they always talk about, oh, you know, we only radiate 5 minutes a day. So it's how it's pulsed. Every time that pulses, it has the ability of putting the body into fight or flight and affecting the nervous system. And they don't recognize this pulsation and you know, peak power densities that the meter produces. That's a pivot point in the arguments about safety. There's a two-way communicating meter that has both that Zigbee chip and the 910 megahertz antenna that actually sends the utility data. The non-communicating meter is supposed to not have any radio, but it is able to receive. And that was verified in the Maine Smart Meter Coalition Against Smart Meters that was just submitted and appealed for reconsideration to keep their analog. They did in there, it does say that they do receive, because that also was a little bit of a pivot point that the power companies don't want to admit that these actually do communicate and they are receiving data. They also, the two-way also does record data. It actually has a storage device inside there with your data. And, you know, how often that is, you know, that data is transferred, I'm not sure, but it's within that 190,000 pulses per day that it's being done. Smart meters are basically being done to complete the IoT circuit, Internet of Things, interfaces with 5G towers, and their private mesh network. I don't know if it's and or. I guess I should say and or both. The problem with the way they have this set up is it's a fire hazard, and it's because the smart meters themselves inherently run hot and can overheat very easily, and the parts cannot withstand the specifications of the environment in which they're installed. Things melt, batteries leak, surges happen when they turn on and off the power. If they reset your power, that's most likely when these things are to catch on fire. And they basically expel a bubble of, you know, a fireball when this happens, like a pop. And if you're lucky enough, it just kind of diffuses itself. And if you're not lucky, it sets your house on fire. So it's a big problem the way they have these things designed. Next slide. So this just says, you know, what are the functionalities of the smart meter? And energy usage, they have something that measures their temperature, but it's not adequate enough. It doesn't really safeguard or fail-safe the meter. The power quality that you get when the dirty electricity is created by the AC-DC conversion of the switch mode power supply is what creates that dirty electricity, again, in the 2 kilohertz to 50 kilohertz range. And then, you know, we have to question to yourself, what exactly does all this dirty electricity and poor power quality do to the actual resilience of the electric grid? You know, this is supposed to be an AMI grid transformation project, and yet we're putting all this dirty electricity and, you know, burdening our grid with a lot of voltage on it that doesn't need to be there. It can actually be filtered out. An EMC filter could be installed in each meter. It's a $2 part. That's a 2018 price value. It's probably $5 now. But each meter, if it had this EMC filter in it, it's an electronic filter, you know, it could reduce this dirty electricity significantly, but nobody is forcing the hand of the power companies to put this part in there. And this network interface card that's discussed, it's what makes the meter a computer, is this card called the network interface card. That's what's actually been given the letters of authorization from FCC to say it's compliant, but it was never tested in the actual box of the meter with the switch mode power supply. And if you were to test it that way, it would fail compliance. So that's a big pivot point as well. Next slide. And this is a quote from stopsmartmeters.org. A smart meter is unwanted by customers, devoid of, I can't read that word, and mind-blowingly expensive, and an unjustified, over-engineered and expensive mistake. And I would add, they're an obsolete energy hog. They are a gas guzzler. So that's mainly the thing we talked about before. They were supposed to save money, and because of the dirty electricity and the extra voltage that's put on the line from the switch mode power supply, it actually costs a minimum of 10% more for your bill, because there's this excess voltage on the line. And if you have more dirty electricity because of how your electricity or your circuits are set up in your house, it'll cost you more, and it can be up to 40% more from what was discovered by somebody who was measuring these types of things. So it defeats the whole purpose of getting these meters. Next slide. This is the notice that was sent out to customers. Some are getting them and some are not. The ones that they're installing now seem to not be getting these notices. And they'll come to your house and install these things hot, which means they don't turn your electricity off when you do it. And basically, when I did some internet research out there in the UK, when they put gas smart meters on, it takes them an hour to do the work. So that just shows you the difference between how it is done and how it should be done to protect the consumer. Next slide. That's just the other side of the notice. Next slide. So here we have the lack of protection of the electric safety codes. The National Electric Safety Code is what Dominion uses. And there is a paragraph in there that they could invoke in order to get these meters installed, you know, with the power turned off. The building inspectors will not recognize the National Electric Safety Code because that is for 60 hertz power. That's not regulated by FCC. So it's up to Dominion to do it correctly. And you cannot complain to a building inspector. You cannot complain to DPOR because they don't recognize jurisdiction. So basically the consumer has no protection. If they come to your house and get injured on your property when they're doing these things hot, they could sue you for, you know, liability because they're on your property when they do this. And the consumer has no ability to say, no, I don't want you on my property. Next slide. So this is just shows you where the green computer card is. It's in the middle of the meter. And that's the part of the meter that has the actual Zigbee chip and the 910 megahertz chip in it. This is an example of the iTron I-210 plus C AMI smart meter, which is supposed to be what we're all getting right now. And if it's non-communicating, those chips in there are supposed to be actually physically removed, but the opt-out form doesn't say that. It says that they're disabled. And I've tried to get clarification on this from multiple parts of Dominion, and you know, they'll say something like, well, we can't customize each person's opt-out form to tell them how we're going to put these things in. So there's really no clarification given. My personal feeling is they're just disabled. And you see the batteries there on the other side of the card. They're the lithium batteries that after a year or two can leak. You would have no idea that this is happening because nobody inspects the inside of these meters. When they install them, it's one and done. So it's up to you to say to them, oh, you know, I've had those lithium batteries in there for 2 years. Can you open up my meter and make sure they're not leaking? Next slide. And this just shows you the difference between the digital and the electromechanical analog. And you can see it has a digital printout on a rectangular display on the left. And then on the right, you have a bunch of dials and an actual rotating wheel underneath them. They're very different. However, even though you might have an electromechanical meter that has the dials, you could have an upgrade from that called an AMR meter, which actually has an antenna in it that communicates one way. So when you say analog, you have to be very clear that you want a non-RFR radiating analog meter, which means it has no antenna in it, and that would be a true analog meter. Next slide. So this is just a little bit of a very dumbed down schematic of how these smart meters communicate. You can see they're all pointing to that one collector site in the middle there. And you do have a repeater to the left top. So there's different infrastructures that are involved. It's just not a smart meter on the side of your home. And these house to house is supposed to be able to relay. They're supposed to have a range of anywhere from a quarter of a mile to half a mile in the relay range. Next slide. This is just a much more detailed wireless backhaul diagram showing you that it goes to an actual cell tower and then to this utility communications facility, which would be the third party. Now, one of the things that was asked for in the January 7th order from Dominion is that instead of everything going through the consumers to Dominion, to the third party wants the ability to get it directly from the consumers and bypass the power company, which would be an absolute violation of our privacy for somebody we don't even have a contract with getting our data directly. But that's what Walmart asked for in that January 7th order, and they didn't get it. SEC just told them that, you know, they'll research it and look into it. But I think it's inevitable that that's the plan, is to have third parties directly mining your data and bypassing the party that you have a contract with. Next. So here's a visual of the mesh network, and it looks not so bad. You know, you have those points there that lay up that are collector sites, and then it creates that mesh because they all talk and relate to each other. But what's really going on underneath that is, in the next slide, is more something like this, where you can see there's a lot more going underneath, and this creates a bubble. And the whole idea here is to create lots of little bubbles that go into big bubbles and bigger bubbles, what I call a layered mesh. And we're going to be immersed in this wherever we go, with the creation of these personal wireless area networks to, you know, city wireless networks. And I think there's one more. And this is actually off the Landis and Gear website. It shows you how these different signals, which they call agnostic platforms, they just cut across and all sum up together to create this Internet of Things. And you see there at the top center slide, the cloud. You know, that's where ultimately all this data goes to be put into some kind of, you know, Commonwealth data trust. Everything about you, creating a profile, a wireless profile, and basically trying to eliminate, you know, any capability of keeping a totally wired connectivity. I mean, this is really, I think, what's at stake here with smart meters, is that they're trying to eliminate, you know, having a wired home. Next. So these are the common bio effects, which really could be just about anything. And when you see how this affects your sleep and your cognition and the fatigue and just heart problems, the heart and the brain, I think, are really affected, you know, because remember, you have those two different types of effects in the ELF, which is the very low frequencies, which, you know, tend to affect the brain and the heart. And then you have the radio frequency radiation, which can give you all these other, you know, seemingly unrelated problems, but they are all connected. Next slide. So these are some of the problems that were taken out of a report that was done about smart meters. And the ones I've highlighted in red tend to be the ones associated with fire. But I think there's two pages of this. If you go to the next slide, you see overheating, arcing. Now, UL certification of meter models that cause fires. The meters that we have in Virginia are not UL certified, but even the ones that are in other states still cause fires. That shows you that inherently there's a bad design. Also, they're very vulnerable to hacking. And some people may be familiar with Hash, the Texas hacker who, during the Texas ice storm, was able to intercept the data stream from smart meters and determine who was receiving power during that ice storm and who wasn't. And he found out that it was a bank that had uninterrupted power when all the consumers were sitting home freezing in their houses, and that they had uninterrupted power for over a year or more. So basically, you know, again, we go to that social equity score of, you know, who's deserving and who's not. And people, you know, the common person doesn't rate over a business. One of the preventions you can do if you feel like you have a meter location that is not in the right place, like you have a bedroom on the other side of the wall, is you can ask a private contractor to offset the meter from your property. And I think they can go up to 75 feet. So if you don't want the meter on your house, you can actually offset it. And these are all the resources that I use for this pitch. They're excellent resources that have a lot of information, especially about the fire and explosions, about the health effects, just about how smart meters work. A lot of states out there have been doing this a lot longer than us, like over 10 years. And basically any question you have on a smart meter is probably already out there, but it's not in the easiest places to find If you want information on fire, it's pretty easy to find, but some of these mesh networks and how they connect with IoT, that's very hard to find. So I would definitely recommend, you know, going to some of these websites and getting yourself more familiar with them if you have any interest in finding out more about it. Next slide. Now, this is interesting from the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. They recommend that patients with medical conditions and disabilities be accommodated to protect their health, but currently they're not doing that. And this is the reason why the people here in Virginia have lost powers, because they're trying to do this and the Dominion said, no, you know, we're not going to give you a non-communicating meter. So they took matters into their own hands and they're just trying to protect themselves and they're not being allowed to do that. And, you know, they recommend smart meters be removed within a reasonable distance of a patient's home, depending on the patient's perception and or symptoms. Now, what that means is not just my meter, but I might have 10 or 20 pathways coming into my house from all these relays. They're saying other people that, like my neighbors on either side of me, that they get their meters removed as well. They're never going to entertain this, but in order to be really safe, that's what you would need. It's a hard concept to understand that you may have pathways coming through your house, not from your meter, but your neighbors, but that's how a mesh works. Next slide. Now here's the opt-out form. Just want to let you know that opt-out forms don't seem to be very accurate. They're a one-way, what they consider a one-way contract, which there is no such thing. A contract always has to have two parties agreeing to the same terms and have a reasonable expectation that the promises made in the contract will be met. So it's a big question mark to me about, you know, should you sign this form? Now, Virginians for Safe Tech doesn't give any recommendations to do or not do that. That's totally up to you. You have to do what you have to do to protect yourself. But, you know, I do think that there is some revision that needs to be on their opt-out form to reflect what you're actually getting, since they make the opt-out form very personalized. They send it to your house with your specific name on it, but yet they don't have the specific language in it that represents my specific installation, i.e., is that chip disabled or removed? And they said, well, one size fits all. We don't have to be exact. That's not the way contracts are done. So I think that if we ever went to SCC, we would ask for a totally different opt-out form. And I think there's one more slide left. Yeah, that's a copy of the form there. And you can see where it says in the middle there, there's a yes and no column, and it's showing you what the differences are between, you know, the switch, that they can't reconnect you during outages, which if there is a deficiency in that remote disconnect switch, which seems to be the main cause of fires, that's a good thing in the opt-out. The removal of service connection, they can't do it automatically. And of course, you know, you're not eligible for the time of use program. So that's their version of what the differences are. And I've already talked about what I think the real differences are, but at this point, you know, the opt-out form is, there's several different ways you can handle it and you could do your own research on that, but we would recommend making sure that you're very informed when you do sign that, if that's what you decide to do. And that concludes my presentation. I know I probably went longer than I should have, but I guess now I'll turn it over to Charles. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Always thorough. Jenny, do you want to sum that up real quick? Or I can just go to questions.
Well, I just want to touch on the opt-out. So as we said at the beginning of this, and I don't, you know, it's different in each state. So I know there's people around here probably from other states, and you have to check what the deal is in your state. This is what's going on specific to Virginia, but just be aware that it could be similar. So you could be signing an opt-out, which actually isn't an opt-out, because people have been sending pictures of their non-communicating opt-out meters, and they look and operate very much like the smart meters and have some of the same numbers that Mary mentioned. So I just wanted to say that whatever state you're in, make sure, you know, this should be a cautionary tale and just to be aware.
Yeah, and I'll ask my question as I turn my phone off here. So this is the analog meter that I put on, and I lost my opt-out right in Virginia, and now I have a smart meter on my house. which of course motivates me as a longtime lobbyist to really work hard to change the law. So is the remedy a clarification state bill that opting out means opting out? You know, you can have an analog and not their cynical, less smart meter.
I think that is one remedy here in Virginia. I think that these things should be, they should be a multi-pronged approach. I think that's one remedy, yes. But as we all know, legislatures seem to work slowly. And if that's the case, while that is happening, I think that approaching your public utility, or in our case, the State Corporation Commission, is also something, and really just informing the public. Because as we said at the beginning, a lot of people, after hearing us talk about this, or us, you know, pointing it out, didn't or don't know they have one of these until they're seeing it on the side, because they're not being informed that this is being installed or has been installed on the side of their homes. So the other question that we get, and Mary can speak more to this, but just in case anybody has this question, I figure we'll go ahead and answer it. We get the question a lot, do these covers for smart meters work? Like some of these cages that you can put around smart meters? And the answer is they could. They could, you know, maybe lower some of it, but the problem is it has to go somewhere. And, you know, this is the very non-technical explanation coming from me, but the radiation, or, you know, whatever it is normally externally, facing externally, is going to then be pushed more internally. So if you have the meter against a bedroom or a kitchen or a common area in your home, and then you put one of these cages or mesh things around your smart meter, it may actually make the signal push everything, make everything stronger inside. And some of these can also make the signal stronger too, depending on where they are placed. So it's a very much a case by case basis. And Mary can talk more on that too.
While she unmutes, and I'm not sure if Milton Williams wants to unmute himself, but I think, you know, he can speak, I think, to the fact that folks are losing power if they don't want to have either version of the smart meter, the full communicating or the less communicating. Milton, do you want to unmute and say something, or you don't have to, of course?
I just want to say hi. And, we still don't have power, but we still standing strong and trying to figure this out. You know, it's not really cold yet, but that's my only worries right now. I mean, we got hot water, got some heat, but at the end of the day, this is some real like tyrant. This is like being a tyrant. Just coming to cut your power because you refuse to have a smart meter on your house. That's the only reason why. Now I got a $9,000 bill saying that we owe them that money, but we never owe them no money. And they came out every month to check the bill. So at the end of the day, where this extra $9,000 come from? You know, so that's what it is. Before they could connect anything, they said that we got to pay $9,000. So I wrote to the SEC twice to see if we could get this waived and get a connection back, at least until the winter is over with, at least until then. Try to get an extension, but at the end of the day, my family suffer. I don't care about myself. I could do this, but to see my wife face, my children, my daughter, my grandson, my son, it's difficult to look in their face every day. We ain't got nothing in the refrigerator because we don't know if the generator we got might go out. You know, we have to throw all our food away. There's a lot of tension in the house. Everybody keeping to themselves. I'm trying not to say nothing because I don't want to say the wrong things. So at the end of the day, I'm just gonna keep on fighting. I can't bend for no man, and I never will. So I refuse to have this meter on my house. I already know what it is. I've installed 1,000 of these meters throughout Virginia. And I want to apologize to every Virginia resident that's on this meeting right now for playing my part there, because I didn't know until I woke up and realized that a gentleman who told me he had the told me about it, but at the end of his sentence is what he said that really opened up my eyes, is that you go right ahead and install it because I'm dying anyway from cancer, so it doesn't make a difference. You know, and for a man to say that, you know, it just opened up my eyes, and what I found out is true. What we was doing was wrong. By putting these meters in there who don't have filters, and the radiation is, we already got dirty electricity. They just added more to it. So at the end of the day, I mean, people just need to be safe. I'm trying to keep my family safe, but they torturing my family now. It's like an icebox in here sometimes. The heat don't catch up, right? We don't have a real strong generator, but we got enough to keep the hot water going on, lights, you know, a little bit of entertainment, some TV. But other than that, they're spending more money in gas than anything to keep the generator running. You know, you gotta make sure it's right. But at the end of the day, people just need to stand up and keep on speaking out about it, because this is wrong. It really is. You know, we never asked about if you had a precondition problem and none. They basically was telling us not to even talk to nobody, really, just get the meters in. And it's a terrible thing that people have to live like this. You know, I feel bad about people, you know, I understand, but I can't, because I already know what I've done. I done put in thousands of things in people's homes and not knowing that somebody might be getting sick to this day because I put this in their home. You know, I regret having that job. And this is why I'm standing up, because when I pass away, when it's my time, I don't want to have no regrets or nothing. So at the end of the day, people, you know, ask me if I fear for my life and things like that. The things that I survived in New York and coming here, this is where I'm supposed to be at. So if it happens to be that way, then it happened. But at the end of the day, what they're doing to my family is what I really is angry about, because they don't have nothing to do with nothing, but they're torturing my family, basically really behind me.
Milton?
Yeah.
If Senator Chase or Delegate LaRocque or somebody in the Virginia legislature did introduce a bill that passed clarifying that opting out means opting out, you could keep the analog meter that I love.
That's right.
What would that do for your family? And how would that change Virginia and every other state if the analog meter were allowed to be part of people's property?
Because at the end of the day, I get letters from people who are getting sick. They're really getting sick where they have to move out and go and live off the grid because we're being forced to have these meters installed in your house. I mean, the people who came to install the meter, came to shut off the power, they ain't asked me for me to return the meter. They ain't asked really no questions. They said, well, we're here to turn your power. And that's it. So what people got to do is realize is that I want the smart meters to have a peace of mind in my house, not thinking about, is this radiation destroying my family? Here's a picture that Charles put up, and it's about this tree, and I've been sharing it all over. And people are really amazed about how this tree is being destroyed by the meter that's right in front of it. So you just imagine what this meter is doing to the human body while you just sitting in your home. You got to think about that. Analog meter and another thing, the state of Virginia don't have a process where they can turn off your power from November 15th and March 15th. We need to have that law in state legislature or something, because at the end of the day, they just, it's wintertime And they just don't care that it's winter time. We didn't have Thanksgiving here. We're not even gonna have Christmas here because we can't plug in the lights that my wife wanna put up. That she usually decorate the yard and everything, you know. But at the end of the day, it's just a terrible thing how they could just come to your house and just say, oh, since you ain't cooperating with us, we're gonna cut your power. That's ridiculous. That's what people need to realize. How you could just march in somebody's house and just like, oh, just don't cut your power because you ain't agreeing to what we do. What is the Constitution? It's laughable because they breaking laws right in front of us and ain't nobody doing nothing. You know, nothing.
So no, let me interrupt real quick. Jenny, how has that been for you and Mary helping not just Milton, but at least a half dozen of the families as they've lost power or they've accepted a smart meter like my family has and others? So now I'm getting headaches. What's it been like? You've been helping a lot of people, haven't you, Ben?
Yes, we're upwards of, it's over half a dozen families. And as you said, I mean, their backs were against the wall. So one woman, she had just gotten home from having a minor cancer surgery on her face to Dominion replacing her analog meter with a smart meter. And she is sensitive. And so she called the police. The police came and they end up, it wasn't maybe 5 minutes before they were canoodling with the police officers. And, you know, they were sharing a good laugh while they installed her smart meter instead of, because she said, I had two options and it was a cold day. And she said I had to choose the smart meter. And so the people who didn't have their power cut, they're still suffering because they have their smart meter back. And it's been pretty heartbreaking, honestly, to see how heartless is the best word, the power companies are, and how they are not responding to a serious medical condition forms. They're not recognizing those. I know there's a couple people who turned them in and they said, this isn't the same thing. And they just disregarded it. And Mary can speak more to that because they're not recognizing them as harmful. And so they're saying, well, this isn't related. The SEC is not responding. We're getting no help. When we did put out a media press release we did a joint press release with Children's Health Defense Virginia chapter and the Virginia Medical Freedom Alliance, and both who either are on this call or were on this call. And we put that out to over 100 media outlets and had, I think, less than five pick up the story. We had a radio station, a couple articles done. I think you showed one of them. You know, and then immediately in one of the papers, Dominion prints a PR rebuttal that does not address at all that these families are going to be without power on Thanksgiving and they have children in the home and how awful this is. So it's been really disheartening, frankly, to see the response or lack of response, but it's a thing we're not going to stop on. And I honestly think this right now, we have a moment where we are able to take we can take this issue to the next level if we keep pushing. So it is disheartening to see that no one's responding, but I feel very strongly that we have an opportunity here to draw attention to it.
And what is your message to legislators in Virginia and the 49 other states?
We need an option. You cannot come, it's just like our bodies. Our home is our structure around us. This is the place where we come to rest our heads. This is our place of solace, you know, and it's the same, it's very similar. You're not informing the consumer about what is happening in their own space. And so we need a true analog opt-out. You don't need the power companies and the corporations to define and opt out. We need to be able to choose what comes into our space. And that includes being able to truly opt out to an analog meter.
Well, let me just say, when I say people ain't doing nothing, I mean like the sheriff, I mean like letters. I sent a letter to every representative in Virginia. That's not even in my district. Those are the people I'm talking about. But like Mary, Jenny, Miss Odette, Charles, I mean, they and Miss Doris, Mark. I mean, everybody reached out to my family, and I love and appreciate everyone for your help. I really do. So I just don't want nobody to get the misfruit when I say that nobody's doing nothing. I mean, the other people, far as the people that's sitting there and just look, just know what is wrong, but ain't doing nothing. Know what's wrong.
This is where that multi-prong approach comes from. It comes, right? So it's educating the public while at the same time addressing whether it's the public utility or the SEC or whoever's approving these things, while at the same time, people need to be pinging their legislators to let them know this is an issue and that this doesn't have, this has zero partisanship on it, right? That's the other thing. In this state of our world right now, everyone has electricity and they don't care what color you are or where you come from or how you vote. They want you to have one of these things because they want your data, right? And they want to be able to have that control. You're part of society, and that is where it's headed. So this is something that I think everybody could agree on. There's not one positive aspect to these meters for the consumer, not one.
Before I leave, get off, I just want to give a shout out to Amanda Chase. I mean, she's the only senator. I mean, because I'm a Democratic. I'm always Democratic, but I told her that she got my vote because, I mean, she's the only one that reached out that's making a stand, you know? And I want to really appreciate her and give her a good shout out for her because she really needed it. She really deserved it. She really did. Thank you.
Charles, I'd like to add one thing about something that happened to a customer.
Yeah, real quick. And then yeah, Paul, real quick. So, and then Paul real quick too, right. And then we gotta wrap it up.
Right.
Go ahead.
So the customer asked for a copy of the police report because they came to her house three times with two police officers each time. And she went to get a copy of the report. And when she did, it was marked as a drunk and disorderly call. So that's how they are getting these police to come out to your home by alleging these types of behaviors. And luckily, you know, they didn't use any force. They were actually very cooperative. But this thing about not recognizing the serious medical condition under the current utility rules, there is a condition that you can ask for a 30-day extension of time to not shut off power if you submit. Well, first that you notify them that you have a serious medical condition and they give you the form and then you submit it. And this is a very serious violation of medical rights that, you know, they're not admitting they're doing. And it is a bill collector that's basically saying you can't submit it. So I think this is something that has to be brought to the attention, not only of legislators, but to the State Corporation Commission directly and anybody that submits either a formal or an informal complaint about losing their power.
Paul, real quick.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know that in California, they solved this problem about a decade ago by essentially going to the California Public Utilities Commission and just showing up in big numbers forever. And it took them about a year and a half, and they got an opt-out as a result. So, I mean, it is possible to go directly to the place and just do not give up and just continue to put the pressure on. It's possible.
And you have in California full analog opt-out rights, Paul?
Yes, I have one in my house.
Good for you.
Isn't Sebastopol, but Sebastopol just got theirs reversed, Paul.
All I'm saying to you is that you as an individual can pay the fee for 3 years and then no longer pay the fee. That's where I am. I have an analog meter and I will keep it for the rest of the time I'm in this house.
Right. And I'm saying that was one 10 years ago, and just like in Sebastopol, but this year, like December 2021 in Sebastopol, who had the same right as your town in Petaluma, they actually went out and reversed that against the county code. They breached the county code and they're in the middle of, you know, suing them now.
Okay, so you can see what you want, and the code is what it is, and the bottom line is right. PG&E, the utility, offers the opt-out, and so if anyone is rolling over that, you can just point to the fact that you can join that opt-out program, period, the end. Nothing's taken that away.
So it's a state-by-state dynamic, folks, as you can tell, and most states don't have the analog opt-out right. Doris, real quick.
So my question is for Paul. I'm glad to hear that you've had success in California. We've been to Dominion. We've had a rally at Dominion in protest of what they're doing. And so are you saying for over a year, people were out rallying at PG&E, and that's what made the difference?
No, you're not going to the utility company. You're going directly to the equivalent of the California Public Utilities Commission. They are the ones that write the rules for the utilities.
So the State Communications Commission.
Correct. State Corporation Commission in Richmond.
That's it. And you just beat the crap out of those people. And you don't hold any punches. And you go and you call them liars and murderers and anything else you want to call them. But at the end of the day, you just do not let up. And the point is, they get so upset, and then they finally, you know, are going to have to do something. But they hate to be called liars and cheats and murderers for a year. They hate it.
The thing is, here in Virginia, and I agree with you, Paul, on this, and we need to also at the same time be talking to our legislators, because the legislators tie the hand of the SEC. So our Dominion is the most powerful influence and lobbyist group in Virginia. They give the most money, they have the most resources. And so we need to at the same time be talking, like pounding on our legislators, because the SEC apparently has the number of Dominion, but they get caught up with legislative type issues.
Well, that's fine. If you have the energy to do that too. No worries. But whoever's breaking the rules against you, you stand right back up to them and you basically say, I'm sorry, you're breaking your oaths of office and all this stuff is wrong. And so we have to set this thing straight.
That's good advice, Paul. Mary and Jenny, we're out of time. Why don't you give us a final word and how folks can reach you?
Well, thank you for allowing us to have this platform to talk about this issue. And you can find us at www.virginiansforsafetech.org and the smart meter specific page, which needs a little bit of work. I need to keep updating it, is that URL, which I put in the chat box, and then it's /say-no. You know, if you have questions, suggestions, we're always open. You can reach us at virginiansforsafetech@protonmail.com. So.
Mary, a final word?
I would definitely say that anybody that's in this situation to take advantage of that medical exemption to buy yourself some time and hope that you are able to leverage off of the people that are in this position right now. And that particular Virginia code is 20VAC5-330-40B, which says that if you notify them that they will send you the information on when your clock starts. You give it the form to them and they review it, and then you get your 30 days, at least 30 days. And hopefully we'll be able to do a similar thing as Dominion Ohio, which allows for the winter reconnect, which means that they don't disconnect you during the winter up until April 14th. And we need to get that as part of our legislation as well, because they already have that out in Ohio.